Welcome to episode 273 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Happy Friday, everybody!
Yay!
And a blessed Good Friday to those who are celebrating.
There you go.
It's been a long week, y'all.
It's been a long 2 weeks. What are you talking about?
I can't remember very well one, like, beyond 1 week back, and that's why I can't even remember if it's been a long 2 weeks. I just know it's been a long 1 week. It gets fussy after that. But we have made cosplay progress since then. I think my body has finally recovered from all con. I think.
I'm air quoting, maybe.
Physically. All of that walking did me good. Let's put it that way.
I mean, yes, the walking does do one good. Absolutely.
And I can work out again because I'm not so sore that I have trouble standing up. Because of lunges. So, we shall start with cosplay updates.
Yes.
Do you want to go or shall I go first?
You always go first, so you go first. Let's not change the format.
But sometimes change is good. Anyways.
Not the format. This is a carefully choreographed podcast. We gotta keep it that way.
So I will be very careful in showing this because I have a bright orange drink sitting in front of me and I am now handling a bright white bridal satin. So my dress is almost done.
Yay.
You can see it's a halter style dress. You can see I very nicely top stitched.
I love top stitching.
So that all of the seams stay in place. It does need to be ironed, but that's just because it's been like collapsed into a pile as I've been working on it. And the inside is crepe. So you can see it's very nice fabric, has a nice drape to it. So it just needs its skirt because it's, you know, cut off and raw at the bottom, which I am now in the process of, as you can see, pinning. Because I want all of the seams to stay exactly where they're supposed to stay as I go and gather the skirt, because the skirt is slightly longer than the current waist measurement of the bodice. And let this be a lesson to you, fellow potters, of why you should press your seams before you stitch them down. Please. Because one of my seams, I did not press my seams, to be fair. And part of that is just because of the fabric that I'm using does not stay pressed very well when I press it. So what I did is I pinned them in place. And that seemed to work fairly well, except that one of them moved slightly as I was sewing. And so basically you have the seam, a corner folded into the seam like this, so that when I stitched it down, there's extra bulk up here. And so when you're done, you know, stitching pieces together, you're supposed to open the seam out flat so that you can press it again. I couldn't open the seam flat because there was a fold right in the middle of it. So I could open most of the seam so that it would be flat, but not the upper portion of it. So I actually had to fix it after a very long stitching line. As you can see, ripping out stitching is not fun. So lesson to you to press your seams. Learn from my mistakes.
Always press your seams, even on fabric that does not like to stay pressed for long. Because even when you're done pressing it, you can pin the press into place and sew over the pins.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah. And that's effectively what I ended up doing.
Okay.
it still had to be pinned in place because it just would not stay.
Yeah, it's slippery fabric, so I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah. The crepe, the backing, very easy to get to stay press it. The bridal satin, no, does not like to play nice.
No, bridal satin like to stay flat. Is finicky by nature.
Yes.
It's pretty, but dang, is it finicky.
Yeah, that particular satin is very thick, and I think it's the bulk that makes it so that it's a little more resistant to staying put, because like I've worked with costume satin and it's much more pliable, but it's also a lot thinner. It's also not as great quality. You get what you pay for. But to be fair, I am making an entire dress from the remnants of my Rava costume. So let that be a lesson to you to also save all of your remnants, because they can be very useful later on. So yes, I am definitely using up my extra fabric from my fabric boxes, which is exactly what I wanted to do this year. And speaking of fabric, I did go to Joann's recently because I needed more thread for the dress It takes a lot of thread when you have to stitch down everything and then top stitch it. And I found this in the remnants bin. What is this, you may say? It looks golden. Yes, this is four-way stretch pleather. This was a remnant of Yahya Han's stretch pleather that I found in the remnants section. And it's only a half a yard. And because I've never worked with stretch pleather before, I want to experiment with it. But I don't know on what that I want to use it yet. Because it is, again, it's only a half yard, so it's not enough to do something like a full armor set or anything like that. So if you potters have any ideas on what I can use pleather on for experimenting with, please let me know, because I am open to ideas. Otherwise, it's basically just going to sit on my fabric shelf until I get inspired. And currently what I've been working with, this is the four-way stretch spandex. And you can see it's extremely shiny, blindingly bright.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see kind of how it compares to the pleather. It's much more shiny. It's much brighter. It's a little bit more grainy, I noticed, than the pleather. The pleather is very buttery smooth. I'm almost scared to work with this. Not this. This I'm fine working with. This I'm a little scared to work with. But I will hopefully figure something out. And I actually need to get more four-way spandex. And the reason for that is because, unfortunately, as I found out at AllCon, I have gained weight. And that is not a good thing, and I am working on that. However, I have also figured out that to disguise it a little bit with my Athena cosplay, I want to make an apron kind of like Zelda's dress, where it just has the tabard in front. And I want to make one of those for Athena out of this, just so that it kind of guides the eye up and down and not side to side. Because cosplay is all about, you know, tailoring to you to make you look good. And so this is how I feel I would look better. So I have figured out a design that I want based on kind of her symbology. And I need to make it. Unfortunately, this tiny little remnant that you see in my hands is all that I have left of the spandex. This is not enough to make a, you know, tabard-sized apron. So I'm going to have to go back to Joy and get some more fabric. And this is not cheap. And that's why I am so sad. It's very rare that Yaya's fabric goes on sale. And even when it does, it's generally only 25%. Whereas the rest of their fabric goes on sale for like 40, 50%. And that difference, when this is $20 a yard, could actually save you a good chunk of money. And the other thing that I got was a treat to myself, speaking of Yaya, was this pattern.
Ah, yeah.
This is the Hanfu outfit that she just came out with recently. And Joanne's finally got their new patterns. And it usually takes them about a month after patterns come out on McCall and Simplicity's site to reach Joanne's in the stores. So finally, this made it into the store and I was able to get a copy. Joanne's, please put your patterns in order. I don't like that I have to keep going over two full drawers worth of patterns that are not in numerical order to try and find this. Because there was one missing space between 8335 and 8339, and this is 8337. I knew there was a space for this. This should have been there, but no, it was in the drawer underneath it in a completely different section with all the other numbers that were also out of order. Please put your pattern drawers in order. But yes, so I did not spend that much at Joanne's because, again, I'm trying not to buy more stuff. This I have been wanting for a while, and it's going to go in my pattern box. So that is everything that I have for cosplay updates for now. Lots and lots of sewing. And trying to keep my hands very, very clean from dirt and food and everything else so that I don't get that dirty. Because if I mess up, I don't get to try again.
I'm going to defend Joanne's just a tiny bit. Numbers are hard. That's all I'm going to say.
That Joanne's has almost always 100% been in order. Like Tamlin says, her Joanne's is always in order. That Joanne's has also always been in order as long as I've known it until this trip. And even then, it wasn't randomized as though customers had just taken a couple patterns out and then plopped them in. Entire sections were lifted out and put in weird places. I do not know what happened.
Someone had their own system and they were like, this is what we're going to do.
It was either that or they suddenly got in a shipment of randomly numbered ones and they just didn't want to have to go through like taking out chunks to renumber everything in proper order. So they just plopped them all in the bottom drawer as soon as they came in.
Yeah, it could be that they're short-staffed and it was just like, we just need to stick them in the drawers. We don't have time to sit and actually number them. Like there could be some valid reasons, but as somebody who likes things in sequential order, I need the numbers in order.
It makes it harder to know if they actually have something in stock because I very nearly left without that pattern thinking they didn't have it in stock, that they didn't have it in at all. And stubborn as I am, if I had not searched that bottom drawer twice to find it, I would have left without it thinking they didn't have it because it was not where I expected it to be.
Here's Amber sitting on the floor of Joanne's for 20 minutes looking at that one drawer, just making sure.
It didn't take me 20 minutes. It took me 10, and I was starting to get some funny looks.
But still,
because I kept going back and forth.
Yeah. It's like, it's got to be in here somewhere. And it was in there, but it's also like, eh.
I was very lucky that I was stubborn about it. But I would not have had to have been stubborn if they were in order. It's like the library Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah.
Either that or I need a way to like scan a barcode and it's like, you tell me exactly where this is in your store.
You still would have to look through the drawer to find it though.
No, it has to tell me exactly where in the drawer it is.
I don't think they're going to get that. No. You're asking too much now.
It's like Star Wars where you pull up a schematic showing the inside of something and it shows you the blinking red dot of exactly where it is on that schematic.
You are here.
Exactly. Except it would be, it is here. Pattern is here. I know I'm asking for a lot.
You are.
But I will settle just for the numbers being in order for your pattern drawer. Or at least to have the McCall's patterns in the drawer that's labeled McCall's. Not the one labeled Simplicity, not the one labeled Butterick, not the one labeled Berta.
I mean,
McCall's goes in the McCall's drawer.
You could argue that they're all the same company now, so isn't it all the same?
Don't fight me on this.
I'm being a butt, I know.
Yes, that is everything for me. I will continue sewing on my dress, and with luck, it will be done very, very shortly, and then I can sit down and figure out how to do the rest of the corsetry after I go to joins again.
Yay. Progress. Progress is always good.
Progress is wonderful.
Okay, I guess it's my turn then, huh? All right, fun stuff. Amber nodded her head. For those of us who are listening, Amber nodded yes.
I'm sitting back and like relaxing. I'm getting into the relaxed position in my chair so that
relax mode
can do her thing.
It's going to be a very short one because it's not very impressive, but it did take me a lot of time and work to get it done because graphic design is my passion. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been working on all of the templates for the Book of the Dead. The ones that are available online are only for 3D printing. And I'm not going to be 3D printing this sucker, and there's no point in me buying all these files that I cannot open or utilize. It doesn't make sense. I'm like, you know what? I've got a lot of really great photos of the actual book prop that was used and was sold at an auction house a couple of years ago. Like, it's fantastic. Front, back, sides, inside, upside down, everything you want for it. So I'm like, great. Plopped that into Photoshop and then just started working on all of my outlining and all the things that need to get done with it. So I've got a good portion of it pretty much mapped out, and I've already started printing out a couple of pieces just to make sure that everything came out the way that I need it to. So like, here are the fun little scarabs. There are four of these suckers. These are not to size, by the way. These are very much oversized, but that's intentional.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was starting to go, those are monstrous bugs.
They are very, very monstrous. I mean, the book itself is pretty darn big though. I mean, when you sit there and actually look at it, you're like, wow, that's actually a pretty big book. So I mean, these are not to size. I am going to scale down, but it helps me to print them out as intended, like on the full sheet of paper, just so I can know, okay, is this feasible for me to cut it out on a smaller scale? That's the big thing. Because it's going to be layers and layers and layers of foam. This one I'm still kind of working on. Again, not the size, absolutely not. It's going to be much smaller and much thinner. I'm not quite as happy with how this came out, so I'm going to be redoing this a bit and seeing where we come up with. This one, however, I'm very happy with. This was the biggest pain in the butt of them all. This is the keyhole one.
That scarab looks much more to size.
Yes, yeah, it does, but this thing is absolutely not to size. It should be like
right
this palm of my hand, maybe. I didn't completely finish it because my brain just went melty mode, but there are these little hash marks all the way around. They're supposed to go around the full circle. This is mostly just a reminder to myself of like, hey, these things are here. Yeah, getting this done was the biggest pain in the butt, and I did this one first, but I think it looks the most accurate to what I was trying to accomplish, so I'm very happy about that. So yeah, the next step for me is to whip out my 8mm foam that I have sitting over here. It's all rolled up, so that'll be fun to heat and squish and get it to flatten out. Cut out what I think is going to be the size that I want to use for the book borders and edges. And then I can start scaling this down to figure out, okay, how is everything going to piece together appropriately now that I've got my templates and my stencils almost ready to go. There are a couple pieces here and there that I'm still working through and Photoshopping just so I can get what I want out of them. But yeah, this has been what I've been doing for like 2 weeks because it is a lot of work, regardless of even having nice images to work off of. This is a lot of work because I care too much.
See, now you just need a ditto so that you can project it and resize it to the correct size. So that
I ain't doing that. Heck no. That's a lot of money that I do not have. No, I regret bringing that up. Not happening.
$20 projector, folks.
$20, yep. Goodness. So yeah, that's what I've been working on. And I'm sure the next 2 weeks, it's probably going to be more of the same. It's continuing to work on Photoshopping stuff, resizing it, getting at least stuff cut out to start with and flatten and squish so they're nice flat book pieces. And then we will go from there. We'll see. Yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, cool. Awesome. And we will be talking about Photoshopping a little bit later in the show. But first, we have some acknowledgments to make. So first and foremost, we would like to make sure that we acknowledge once more the judges that helped us out at the AllCon Cosplay Contest, because they really did help us out in tremendous ways. We literally could not have run the contest without them and their expertise. So we would like to say thank you once more to Miho Mouse Cosplay, to Prop Monkey Studios, and to Eric Muse, all of whom, again, were very, very tremendous helpers for the cosplay contest. And of course, if you would like to see more of their work, we can include their various pages in our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some really fantastic work.
Big thank you to our sponsors for the contest, who are Manmade Soap and Photo Persuasion. Their links are already in the show notes for those who are watching us live right now, but they will also be included in the follow-up show notes for the final episode. Be sure to shop them for all of your soapy good needs and then for all of your photography needs, because they do amazing work. We love both of them. We appreciate both of them. They gave us fantastic prizes this year, and we really couldn't have done it without them. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Everybody was very generous with their time and with donations for the convention this year. It was really helpful.
Absolutely.
I still have all my soap from Manmade Soap. They didn't sponsor us. They didn't give us any.
No. Nope.
I bought it with my own money. I am a very consistent patron of theirs whenever I see them at cons.
Yeah, it takes because a while to get good. Through the soap.
It does. Well, I mean, it's good quality soap, but it's also a good size soap. Like, you get a lot of soap for what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I like being clean at conventions. I mean, that's a thing.
Being clean is very helpful, yes.
I mean, if you're going to be in a giant hotel with thousands of people for a weekend, then yeah, I would like to smell fresh.
Please, please be clean. That would be great.
621, people. Somebody is in chat is saying, I need to smell like oranges and rum.
That's the pirate soap.
Yeah, they have a lot of different varieties of soap. So if you're not into the floral thing, they have other soap. They even have unscented soap if you don't want any scent. And then once you are clean, you can always go over to a Photo Persuasion's booth and have pictures taken.
There you go.
All good things. At the next AllCon, mind.
Right.
All right. Well, shall we get into today's topic?
Sure. Why not?
All right. So this episode, since it is fairly timely with all of the discussion around ChatGPT and DALL-E and all of these AI type things, we wanted to re-examine when is Photoshopping too much? And of course, I think we have all seen the difference between standard cosplay photos and then Photoshopped cosplay photos for various things. You can Photoshop for effect. You can Photoshop to remove undesirable things, like if you have other people in the picture. You can Photoshop for, you know, makeup and aesthetic reasons. You can do all sorts of different Photoshops. You can even change filters if you wanted to, so that you have like a sepia hue photo for old-timey type stuff if you have a steampunk cosplay. You can Photoshop for any number of things. But when is it too much? That is a great question.
And it's something that we have talked about before on the podcast. So this isn't a new topic for us. It's just re-examining it and coming back to it. One, because it is so unbelievably easy to use your app on your phone when you're posting something to TikTok or Instagram to completely alter your face within 30 seconds and then upload an image. It is ridiculously easy. But now with the introduction of AI and all of these other technologies and features, it's now becoming a weird, uncanny valley world of imagery. And it's odd and it's unsettling. And even earlier today, when I was thinking, okay, do I want to do a different topic for today's episode? So I was just, one of the few times I've been scrolling through Twitter, because I really haven't been using social media a lot lately, every single image that I kind of scrolled and came across, I just kept on scrolling. I didn't stop to look at them. Everything felt kind of fake. And it was very difficult for me to sit and actually look at the costume or the cosplay, because I was like, is this real? Or has this just been so heavily altered because of the cosplayer's choice to alter it? So I don't even really stop to look at cosplay photos anymore. That's at the level that we're getting to with so much of this photo manipulation, and it's unsettling. I understand that some people are not going to agree with me and they're like, yeah, just do whatever you want to do. And I like all that stuff. That's cool. You do you. I just know for me, it takes away from the artistry of the costume and the makeup and the prosthetics and the wig work, when all I'm focusing on is the fact that you have a ridiculously smooth skin tone that is all one monotone color and you have no wrinkles anywhere, that your hand looks like one giant blur in order to make it not look real. I'm using my hand as an example. Hi, I have old lady hands. But I mean, you can see that I got like creases and knuckles and whatnot, and you can see my veins. Hi, because I'm pasty white. But I mean, at least it's real and it's not just a blur like if somebody put Vaseline on the screen, you know? That just seems a little too much to me.
I think if it's for special effect purposes, like say if you're hurling fire or calling down lightning or things like that, I'm okay with Photoshop for that, because please do not light your hand on fire. Please do not hold a metal rod up to actually call lightning. Those things can be very dangerous. Not to mention, some of them can be very physically impossible. So for special effects like that, especially if it's integral to your character, if that's what your character is known for, like Doctor Strange's discs, okay, I'm fine with that. If it gets too flashy, it may, like you said, take away from the costume. But if it's done tastefully, okay. One example where I'm not okay with it is if you're Photoshopping your head onto somebody else's body and basically taking credit for that cosplay as though it's your own. So if you basically try and take someone else's work, not okay with that. And I've seen that more often than I would like in the community, and just in the social media community in general. Not cool. If you want that costume, you need to make it yourself.
Or buy
purchase
it.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed that a number of cosplayers that I'm following have been putting more watermarks on their final images. I think, one, because of the AI situation, but two, to ensure that if their content is used somewhere else, that it's very difficult to remove that watermark, because they put it in such an obvious place and sometimes even like smack dab right on top of them.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm very used to seeing it like streak across the body.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't blame them.
I don't blame them.
Especially with the advent of AI and just automatically ingesting all these images on the web without necessarily asking for the consent of the person that owns the photo, you end up having to kind of take your own protection into your own hands to protect your intellectual property, because that is your intellectual property.
Mm.
It's your likeness and it's your photo. It's your cosplay. You should.
Yeah, I know Starman mentioned backgrounds are awesome. That's actually one way that I'm totally cool with it, because I have a couple of photographer friends that do great composite images where it's cosplayer on a green screen or a blue screen, and then they will edit out the background and do something fun with it. And the way that they do it, it's more about trying to capture the realism of the moment. It's not about trying to make it supernatural. So he doesn't do really any editing on the person or their costume. You know, if there's like a stray hair that's like whirly whirly up there, he might, you know, mask that out. Or if there's like a stray thread on the costume, yeah, he might do something to cover that up. But he doesn't change anything about the person or their appearance. The focus is trying to make that background and the costumer become one, so that it looks like that they are actually there. That, and so it's a lot more of a realistic element. Like, I'm 100% okay with that. I think that's fun and it's different and it's unique.
Mm-hmm. And if they do it to make it look like they're actually in the video game,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that can be done really well.
Yeah, sometimes
it looks amazingly fake and you can tell, and it kind of distracts a little bit from the costume, because then you focus more on, oh, what happened with that background? It doesn't look right. It looks like they're basically against a CGI sheet and it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. If it's well done and the two look like they're from one and the same, that can really help.
Yeah. For me, it's when it comes to that background, it's like they pull a screenshot directly from the game. Okay, fine. But then they edit themselves to such a degree that they are trying too hard to replicate the character that they smooth out all the lines on their face. Then I'm like, we need to step back a second and rethink this. Or when they Photoshop their costume so much that there are no lines and no wrinkles, but they're bending in this odd position where you're like, hold up, there should be a fold there. Why is there no fold?
It's like the Barbie effect, where it's like, this is physically impossible.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
We understand that there is some majesty to like anime and manga and video games. And we understand sometimes they don't have seams and they don't have folds. That's why we have the constant dilemma with cosplayers of, where do I put the zipper, because the zipper doesn't exist on this costume. But when you no longer look human in the image, then I start going, is this even real anymore? Or is this been generated by an AI? Then I get really uncomfortable with it. And I'm like, I'm just going to keep scrolling. I'm not going to even look at this piece anymore.
Yeah, some Photoshops where they try and apply anime filters or cel shade filters, it ends up starting to look like it was hand-drawn as a piece of art instead of a cosplayer in a photo.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, it's like, oh, that's a nice piece of art. Who drew that?
Yeah, it's digital art.
It doesn't look like a cosplay anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is very much digital art. And don't get me wrong, it's good digital art most of the time. But it doesn't look like a cosplayer. It looks like a character in a series, mm-hmm. which, if that's what you're going after, good for you. But if what you wanted is a cosplay photo, didn't quite succeed there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you didn't really hit the mark on the cosplay portion of it, which is unfortunate, because I'm sure a lot of them are really well-made costumes. Mm-hmm. I have no way of telling, because everything has been Photoshopped so much.
Right. And something that may be unique to me is that there's a bit of an ethical consideration in terms of the standard that's being set. Because when you start to Photoshop something to look perfect, whether it's the skin, whether it's the wrinkles, whether it's, you know, eye color, whether it's shape of the human body, or whether it's flaws in the cosplay itself, you know, maybe you forgot to stitch a seam, you know, maybe there's, you know, something that didn't quite adhere properly on your armor. When you start editing out the flaws, when people look at your photo, if they don't know any better, they think that that's the actual representation of you and your cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
It is perfection is what you're showing them, an ideal version of yourself and the cosplay. Well, other people are going to want to aspire to that because they think, oh, this person has clearly like reached the pinnacle of this character. I have to do the same thing. Or worse, they'll get discouraged because they see, oh, well, somebody else is already so perfect as that character. I can't possibly reach that standard. I may as well not even try because I have wrinkles, because I'm too old, I'm too short. Any of those reasons, or even if you think, well, maybe you're not skilled enough. Maybe you don't believe that you can make armor that looks so perfect, or a wig. You can't style a wig that looks so perfect. It starts to discourage people. And that's kind of the opposite of what we want. You're setting a standard that doesn't exist, and it's causing people to either like stress too hard trying to reach it or not try at all. And I don't think that's fair, both to the person who's aspiring and to you, because I think as human beings, we need to accept the way that we are. I mean, yes, there are always things that you can change. Like if you want to change shape, you can exercise, or there's surgery, or whatnot. Some things you can change, but some things, especially something like aging and wrinkles and such, we just need to accept it. It's going to happen to all of us. And it's not something that should be denigrated or looked down upon in any cosplay photo. If you see somebody has imperfections, that's because they're human. They're not a robot. They're not an AI-generated avatar. They're a human being. And we should accept that, and we should celebrate it. Mm-hmm. But that's just my own opinion.
No, I think you're right on there. And I think that's part of the problem, is that there's now this expectation to be at this level of looking too perfect and too unreal that other people are trying to meet it, because that's now what's popular. That's what people are trying to strive for, to get more hits, more likes, more clicks, more whatever. For social media clout, that doesn't really amount to anything. So we're just going to keep running into this dilemma of, okay, at what point is it too much? And I think we're not only at that point, we are exceeding that point. That it's just like, we need to come to full stop, roll back, and focus on the art of cosplay as it is, as human beings, and not this overglossed Photoshop cells where Vaseline is all over the place.
It's not just unique to cosplay.
Oh, no. I mean,
modeling is like this too, where they're quite a bit photoshopped, and some companies are getting better about it because of all the backlash.
It's been a lot better now than what it used to be even 5 years ago. It's gotten better. There's still the fashion world, and modeling is still a thing and an issue. It's got problems, but it's better than what it used to be.
Yeah, and it's also, as the person who was photoshopped, a little harsh too, because then people expect you, when you see them in real life, they expect you to look
just like the image. Yeah.
And then when they find out that you don't, then they're disappointed, and they can turn, where all of that social fame and the likes that we were just talking about go away because it was a false expectation to begin with. And then they find out, oh, you're a human being that has flaws. And then once that happens, then you feel obligated to try and make yourself match that perfect image, which you will never reach because we are flawed human beings. We're not gods. But you'll feel obligated to look like that perfect image that people have set up in their minds. And that has a lot of mental stress and psychological wounding associated with it. Like, as somebody who is a perfectionist myself, I will tell you, it is not a good mindset to have. It is not a good place to be. Because perfection is not something humans can reach. I mean, yeah, you can set reasonable goals. I support you 100%. But don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Don't stop being a cosplayer. Don't stop trying to make that cosplay of that character that you love because you think somebody else has already reached the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
Because that could just be a photoshopped image, or worse, it could be AI generated and not a human at all. But they're so good now that it's really hard to tell sometimes. And so I think we need to be careful as cosplayers, as a community, to not set ourselves up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about it. If it's used tastefully, just like anything else in cosplay, if you use bling tastefully, if you, you know, if you add things tastefully, generally it's good. And if it's done for the effect of enhancing the cosplay, okay, I support it. If you go overboard, or if you try and erase what is there because it makes it more perfect, no, no go. Like you, I would just start scrolling past it, because then it just starts looking like digital art. And I used to be one of those people that would look at cosplayers as like perfect. And it's like, oh, this Lena Inverse cosplayer, that's perfect. Why should I even try? Because they've already done it. And I did it anyway. I still made the cosplay anyway. And I'm glad now that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And that I didn't turn away because I thought somebody else had done it better.
Right, yeah. That negative mindset can definitely spiral into something else. So if you're going to look at other cosplayers and you want to achieve what they have set themselves out to, look at what's real about the image itself. Look at what's their progress photos. Look at their behind-the-scenes photos. Look at all the things leading up to the building of the costume, not necessarily the final image, because the final image may have been so drastically altered and tweaked to meet social media standards, not necessarily the reality. Focus on what the reality of what went into the building of those costumes. And you also have to keep in mind that everybody does things differently. There's always different takes, different styles, different whatever, different budgets, different materials. There are different ways of making everything out there. So one person could have done Lena Inverse for $100. Someone could have done it for $50. Someone could have done it for $2 million and had all the perfect materials in the world. But everybody's going to do it differently and have different outcomes and different experiences too. So it's worth putting in the effort if you really want to go out there and make something or thrift store it or whatever. Just do it. Have the experience. Go for it. Have fun. Because that's the only way that you're going to get an opportunity to really truly enjoy the hobby, is if you just do it.
Remember that cosplay is supposed to be a celebration of fandom, of being a fan. And it can be a series, it can be a character, it can be just anime itself, it can be sci-fi itself. But the whole point is to have fun showing your love for whatever it is that you love.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be someone with more money than you.
Oh, yeah.
Who has access to better resources, has access to shops that can make things for them, or somebody that can just buy the whole costume outright online.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be people more skilled than you who can make things with sewing machines, with vacuform machines, with different workshops. There will always be people that have more something than you. But that's okay, because they don't have more heart than you. And that's kind of the whole point, is that you're showing your love in the way that you can. And that's what matters. So don't ever feel like you are less because you have less, because you're not. They're the ones that needed Photoshop, not you.
TLDR, don't trust the Photoshop images.
Never trust the machines.
Never trust the machines.
I do not welcome my AI overlords. Now I'm going to be the first one, like, taken care of, because I did not welcome my machine overlords.
Every time that Alexa talks to me, I make sure to say thank you afterwards, just in case. At least they know that I was the polite one.
Indeed. Yes, believe in the heart of the cosplay. Why do I feel like I should have a bunch of cards in my hand?
Card battles on motorcycles.
And a little... Yeah, and a little gauntlet.
Good old Yu-Gi-Oh.
Does that age me, knowing Yu-Gi-Oh?
No, because it's still a thing that's still popular, so it's okay. It is totally fine. It's like Pokemon. It has just this long-lasting ability.
Didn't they just recently say goodbye to Ash?
Yeah, but there's a new person now, so it's fine.
Okay. That I did not know. I'm not following the franchise. I just saw it trending on Twitter and heard it mentioned in the media. So.
I mean, it's only been like 25 years that he's been the same age.
I know. Oh. Exactly.
It's like the Simpsons. They
never
age. See,
that's making a point about cosplay and Photoshop is that if you were to cosplay Ash, you do not have to worry about looking the same age for 25 years. Don't Photoshop yourself into looking the same age as you cosplay this person. He can age and so can you.
He can age. It's okay. It's fine. Yeah, anybody can be
cool.
Ash.
Exactly. At some point, Ash will be older than 25, or at least he'll look it. Cool. Well, of course, if you in the audience would like to join in the conversation and let us know how you feel about Photoshop, or if you have family-friendly pictures that you'd like to show us that are tastefully Photoshopped as well, you're more than welcome to, and let us know via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
Everything that you want to know is over there right underneath Amber, because it doesn't change. It always stays in the same spot. For those of us who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes. Otherwise, please keep working on those cosplays. Remember, perfection is not the goal. Keep working on those cosplays. Stay healthy, stay happy. We will see you guys next time in episode 273. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.